in your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 4. And this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I know the preacher says that about everywhere he's at. But quite frankly, Proverbs chapter 4, this passage of Scripture I'm going to read to you tonight, is one that the Lord's used in every season of my Christian life. And about once a year, when the Lord leads, I open it up and preach it. And I'm thankful to have the opportunity to share with you Proverbs chapter 4 tonight. We'll begin reading in verse 23. It deals with the matter of our hearts. And the heart of a man is not that blood-pumping organ in his chest in regards to his spiritual life. It's actually located up here. It's your mind. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the passage tonight is something I hope will be a help to you, something that I need to be reminded of constantly. Very thankful for. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Father, we pray you'd bless the preaching of your word. Help us to honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let's just look at that verse together. The first word is keep. I love this word. Keep. If you keep your heart, it's the same term that we'd use to refer to keeping a garden or keeping house. And I love to think about, my grandmother often said that she kept house. What are you doing? I'm keeping house. What'd that mean? That meant she was working at it. It wasn't something that she did once a year. It's something that she did on a very consistent and persistent basis. My grandfather, this is spring of the year, he kept a garden. And keeping a garden is something that, it's not something that you work really hard at one time and forget about. It's something that requires consistent attention. Every day, a little here and a little there. So the Bible begins by referring to the management of our heart, our thought life, with the word keep. It says, keep your heart. Keep it how? Keep it with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence. That means the Bible says, here's a job and a task for you to do. You need to work at managing your thought life. Work at keeping your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. Out of it are the issues of life. The Bible says the reason it's important for you to keep and manage your heart, keep the weeds chopped out, the dust knocked down, to keep the fertilizer going and the nurture and the water and the nutrition and all that you need going well and growing strong in the heart of your mind. In your mind. The reason that you have to keep your heart is because out of it are the issues of life. Out of your heart comes everything that is you. How many of you have ever experienced this? You begin to think of something, think about something, and the next thing you know, you're acting on the thing you're thinking about. Some people do that with buying a car. Some people do that with making other purchases. Some people do that with bitterness and anger. Some people do that with depression. They get something in their hearts and they get something on their mind. And instead of giving that burden to the Lord and thinking on things that are right and good, they continue to meditate and dwell and keep their heart full of the trash that crowds out God. So Solomon says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Do it. It's important. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The Bible continues in verse 24 and says this, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. The first thing that we see here after the Bible says to keep your heart with all diligence is we have a little anatomy lesson here. We're going to talk about our mouth, our eyes, and our feet. In verse 24, he says, put away from thee a froward mouth. Now, what does your mouth have to do with keeping your heart? Well, I'll tell you. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You ever notice that? Someone said it like this, what's in the well comes up in the bucket. And we say what's in our heart. So with this in mind, the Bible says, in referring to keeping your heart with all diligence, it said, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. So the first point I'd like to make tonight is this, the test of your heart is your mouth. The test of your heart is your mouth. All right, so what we're going to do right now is we're going to do a heart test. It's not an EKG. It's one you can do sitting right here in a church pew. Let's do a heart test. So the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay? Now, I want you to stop, and I want you to be completely honest with yourself and God. Go ahead and ask God to make things very clear to you, the condition of your heart. And here's what I'd like for you to do. I want you to think back over the last 24 hours, and I want you to think about the things that have come out of your mouth. That moment when you were angry, what came out of your mouth? That emphasis of your conversation for the last 24 hours, what does it sound like? Are they words that please the Lord? Is it subject matter that is seasoned with grace? Is it subject matter that is seasoned with the promise and hope that we have in Christ? Is it something that's right and pure? Or are the words of your mouth in the last 24 hours things that do not glorify God, do not testify to the promises that we have in God, the rest that we should enjoy as the children of God? You see, your mouth is a testimony and a testament of your heart. Now, there's lots of things I like. I like to talk about all kinds of stuff. I like to fish and hunt and shoot stuff, and I like to build and fix and drive things, and I like life. I like golf. I don't golf very often, but I like it. I like sports. There's all kinds of things I love and I like. And I like to talk about a lot of things, but I'll just tell you something. You talk about the things that you like. You talk about the things that consume your mind. And I just wonder, when you've tested your heart, what's in it? Is it so crowded and full of things that may not be bad that you've left God out? Or is your heart overcome and overrun by some sinful thing? There's bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking in your heart. It's faithlessness in your heart. Is unnecessary fear in your heart? Is anger in your heart? Your mouth has testified to what's in your heart. Most recently, and all God's people said, oh me. You see, the Bible says that we should put away from us a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from us. So what we need to do is the beginning of changing our heart and keeping our heart in the right direction is to identify that our hearts are not in tune with God, or there's room in our hearts to take out some of the weeds and some of the filth and some of the problems and put in our hearts the Word of God and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's reason to put God in there and begin. Maybe it's something you have to do to force a conversation. How many of you ever had to make yourself begin a conversation? I don't necessarily like to talk. It's kind of hard for a preacher. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? But I'm as happy with silence as I am with talking. I love to drive by myself in my truck. I love it. I love people, and I like to talk to people. Don't get me wrong. But how many of you ever had to force yourself to say something? You knew you needed to. You need to begin a conversation. You need to say something. How many of you ever began and forced yourself to do something like that, and you're glad you did when you did it? So look, the Bible says, put away from the froward mouth. If you catch yourself conversating or talking about things that you shouldn't, put it away. And then initiate in your conversation with your words things that are right. You may need to just go down the road talking to yourself, singing to yourself songs and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart of the Lord. I'll just tell you something. If those things begin to come out of your mouth and you bring them up in your heart, you're keeping your heart. And the Bible says, keep your heart, because out of it are the issues of life. You see, the first thing we consider is the test of our heart. What's in your heart? We can find out by paying attention to our mouth. Number two, the path to our heart. The path to our heart. How do you get to your heart? Someone said one time they looked through my ear and could see out the other side. The path to my heart literally is my ears and my eyes and my nose, my senses. What's the path to our heart? The pathway to our heart, to our mind, is our five senses. God has given us a way that we can train our hearts, and He uses our senses to do so. And so the Bible says He uses one of these very important senses. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. And the emphasis here is on your eyes. You see, if we're going to keep our heart with all diligence and protect our future and protect our lives, then we are going to have to guard what we let in our hearts. We have to guard what we let in our hearts. You see, we train our hearts with our senses. How many of you have ever been in a store and you heard a song and you start singing the words and you can't believe you knew the words? But somehow you knew the words of that lyric. Well, guess what's happened? Along the way, your heart has been trained. We've got to guard what we put in our hearts. I'm not telling you to wear earplugs when you go shopping. Don't do that. That's silly. But I am telling you this. Are you being intentional about what you allow before your eyes? What you allow to come in your ears? Are you being intentional with the way that you're training your brain? You see, everything that I am is a product of what my eyes and ears have seen and heard. I know that's my mom. I've been seeing her my whole life. I can hear her voice, and I know that's her voice. She's helped in a large way to train my mind to be who I am. And I've learned the things that I've learned by reading with my eyes, hearing with my ears. And our minds are something that we've got to guard. Now, I just want you to know something. None of us are ever old enough and mature enough to digest a steady diet of filth. Look, we should be careful about what we watch on TV, what we see on the internet, what we hear. And we should make a point to let the right things come in our eye gate and let the right things come in our ear gate. And we should make it a point as parents and grandparents and people who are influencing the lives of children to make sure that we're doing our part to make sure there's not only the absence of horrible things but the presence of great things before the ears and eyes of our young people. I remember coming home from Peru when I was a teenager. I was scared to death when I was in Peru. I mean, I was scared. Now, we ministered and we had a great time, but I was scared. I'll just tell you. They were building, I'd heard that there were volcanoes in that part of Peru. We were in Lima, Peru, down in the desert. I'm sorry, we weren't in Lima, we were in Arequipa, Peru, down in the desert, and there's volcanoes down that part. And I got nervous, at night you could see fires on the mountainside where they'd pointed, folks had pointed and said, that's a volcano. You could see fires on the mountainside. And bottom line was, they were just people that are living around there, had a fire on the mountainside. And I'd see those fires and I'd just be scared to death because I knew that we was getting ready to have a volcano and I'd never make it home. And I'd never eat at my Aunt Mutt's table again. And I'd never, I was scared. I had to push the fear down and trust the Lord, but I remember being so scared. And I remember on our flying home, I was extra concerned on the plane flying home. And you know what God used to calm my soul? I sang every children's church song that I knew on that flight home from Peru. Now, I didn't really need to be so scared, but I'll just tell you what helped me through a difficult moment. It was all the good things that godly people had put in my heart as a little boy that I was able to rehearse. And I'll just tell you, there have been times as an adult and a preacher, the gospel preacher for 20 years, that the same songs and the same little messages in song have comforted my soul because somebody saw to it that it was put into my heart, and praise God that it was. I remember Fred emphasizing scripture memory as a teenager. At the time, we'd take little stickers or check marks and mark off that we'd memorize scripture and stuff. In order to do certain things, we had to memorize scripture and do this and that. And it was great. It was a motivator. I didn't want to show up on Wednesday night. I hated homework. I hated school. But I didn't want to show up on Wednesday night and be the dummy that didn't get the check by his name. So I'd make myself memorize scripture. And the emphasis that was put there was right. Because I remember where I learned this verse of Scripture, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. I learned upstairs in the teen room because someone emphasized that I put that in my heart. And I put it in my heart and checked the box. But the bottom line is, I'd say once a month, for the last 25 years, God has used that verse to encourage and help me because it was something that was put in my heart. I remember this one. I learned this one too. Thank you, Fred. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the children of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. I'm thankful for that. It reminds me to stand up for Jesus and live for God. And those are the kind of things we should put in our hearts. We should put them in our hearts. We should make effort to put them in our hearts. I do lots of things wrong, but I like to mow the grass and I have earbuds in my ears and I like to listen to preaching when I do so. Why do I do that? Because I want good things in my heart. Sometimes you got to turn off the news and turn on Bible preaching. Sometimes you got to turn off the news and you got to listen to some singing that brings praise and glory to the Lord. Why? Because God has commissioned us to keep our hearts with all diligence for out of the issues of life. We've got to watch our eyes. We've got to watch our ears. You see, the path of our heart are our senses. The path of our heart is our senses. And I just wonder if you might be intentional this week to turn some things off and turn some other things on so that you can begin the process of keeping your heart. Number three, the destination of our heart. We move from our mouth, which is the test of our heart, to our eyes, which is the path to our heart, finally our feet, which is the destination of our heart. The Bible says in verse number 26, ponder the path of thy feet. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So the commission is this. Ponder the path of your feet. Now, I want you to think about it. The word ponder, you know what that means. Think about it. We'll ponder this for a moment. Ponder the path of your feet. All of us, if we'll be honest, are pointing in a direction. You think about it. We're pointing in a direction. You can't be neutral. You know, I can't turn my feet where I'm, I just can't do that. We're pointing, we're going somewhere. Where are you going? What direction are you going in? Let's think about our spiritual direction and the direction of our hearts. What direction are you going in? Which way is your feet pointing? Are you pointing into deeper despair? Are you pointing to faith in Christ? Are you pointing towards sin and unrighteousness? Are you pointing away from faithfulness to God? Are you pointing away? Ponder the path of your feet. Think about your mouth for a minute. That's what's in your heart. It will give some clues to the direction of your feet. Ponder the path of your feet. Which way are they going? Are you going in the right direction? You see, we're to ponder the path of your feet. The destination of your heart is the direction that you're going. The Bible says, ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Let all thy ways be established. Is there order in your heart, in your life? Order that pleases the Lord? You see, attending church is so important. Why? So the preacher can brag to his friends about how many people were there on Wednesday night? Never. Attending church is important because it establishes the path of our feet. You see, we have consistency. We have consistency. We're constantly reminded that we need to stay in tune with the Lord. That's right. Let all thy ways be established. Consistency in your Christian life, it's of utmost importance. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. You know what I'm noticing? It's become easy during a pandemic to stop going to church. And for a while, you know, it's really, really okay. It works okay to be online and do some things. But I don't know about you, but there had to come times, and I've heard testimony from folks, I couldn't take a break at all. You know something? To God be the glory. Chihuahua Baptist Church, we never missed a service during the pandemic. We had something live here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Every time the doors were supposed to be open, somebody was here. I didn't get to take a break, but I know a lot of folks who went to church in their pajamas for a while. And I'm glad that I was on camera and you weren't. And you're glad too, aren't you? But if you're listening to me online tonight, it's easy to settle into that type of routine. But we need to get to the place where we are establishing our routine around the things of God, with the people of God, the Word of God. Why? Because it directs the path of our feet. It directs our hearts. He says, ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Let all thy ways be established. The path that you're taking, something that's right, something you could be thankful for, something you wouldn't be ashamed to God for. Let all thy ways be established. And the Bible says, verse 27, when you're pointing in the right direction, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. What are we to do? Once we've started in the right path, just keep going down that same path. Get your way established and keep going. And in the event that your heart is out of tune with God and your foot is in some type of evil, your path is pointing away from God, the Bible says just simply, remove thy foot from evil. You see, if there's things you're putting before your eyes, the thing you got to do is stop it. Stop it. There's this really fun skit. This lady comes into a psychiatrist's office, and you could tell this guy's really short and put out, and he's watching his clock. He gives her his rates by 15-minute intervals, and I mean, he's just real, it's cold. It's cold to enter into this place. And the lady says, I've just got serious problems. She says, I'm scared to death that I'm going to be buried alive in a box. The psychiatrist says, have you ever been buried alive in a box? No. But I'm just scared that I've been buried, that I'll get buried alive in a box. She wants to delve into her feelings. And he's watching his clock. He's like, We're about to finish up our first segment. I mean, it's like 15, 20 seconds. He says, would you like me to give you an answer? She's like, well, I thought I could kind of spill my guts a little bit and tell you a little bit about it. He's like, well, that's fine, but you're rolling in another segment. It's going to cost you $50 more or something. She says, well, go ahead. He said, so you're afraid you'll be buried alive in a box? Yes, that's my problem. He says, okay, here's the solution. Stop it. Stop. So she says, stop it. He said, yeah, stop it. You're not going to be buried alive in a box. Stop it. And the message that we should get tonight, if our hearts are out of tune with God, out of sync, we've allowed ourselves to get sideways. You know what we want to do? We want to make excuses as to why we're not having victory in Christ. We want to make excuses as to why we're not doing what we ought to do. We want to make all the excuses. We have excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. But truthfully, the step that we need to make is to remove our foot from evil. Just stop it. You're going to be tempted to continue in your sin. It's true. And it's not easy to stop things. But I'm just telling you something. Stop it today. And when you're tempted to do it tomorrow, ask God to give you the strength to stop it tomorrow. And just stop it. Just stop it. Look, you may need some help. There's no doubt. But I want to encourage you to do something. Stop it today. And then tomorrow, when you're tempted, ask God to give you the strength that you need to stop it tomorrow. And ask and depend on the Lord for the strength to help you on the next day to just stop it. The Bible says, whatsoever things are lovely, just, it says, think on these things. Think on these things. Let's keep our hearts. Someone gave me this a long time. It's a little poem. It says this, your heart is a garden. Your thoughts are the seeds. You can grow flowers or you can grow weeds. Can I read that to you again? Your heart is a garden. Your thoughts are the seeds. You can grow flowers or you can grow weeds. The Bible's commission to us is this, keep your heart with all diligence. Proud of it, the issues of life. Oh, may God help us to protect our hearts, to guard our hearts, to nurture our hearts. It's our commission. It's our privilege, our opportunity. By the way, you don't have to do it on your own. Well, you can't do it on your own. But I can guarantee you this, God will meet you there. Keep your heart with all diligence.